Thank you, Bob. I actually wasn't getting nervous. I was thinking, this is a bonus. Now I can just slink back. You know, growing up in the church, I've had the opportunity to attend, this is my 43rd feast. And looking back over the years, I've always looked forward to the feast. They've always been a highlight of my life. Shortly after I finished school, I can remember transferring to a feast site. I got my first job, made lots of money. And I can remember transferring and going out a lot. Meals were good, sermons were good. But there was something that was missing. And I can remember coming back and feeling really low. It was one of the lowest points that I'd ever had attending the feast. And I thought a lot about that feast. And there was an ingredient that was missing. There was one thing that was missing in that feast that was there in all of the great feasts. Sound effects. They needed more sound effects. Actually, that one ingredient, Mr. Davies tried really, really hard to steal my sermonette. And I was very generic in my title, just in case, so I could quickly make another one. But that missing ingredient that was so prevalent in the great feasts was enthusiasm. Enthusiasm for what we're here for participating, to encourage, to serve. I can remember that was the one feast where I actually did nothing. I didn't serve in any capacity. You know, Ralph Waldo Emerson once wrote, "Nothing great has ever been achieved without enthusiasm." Nothing great has ever been achieved without enthusiasm. You know, do you believe that what you're participating in is great? If you do, then enthusiasm will naturally be a part of it. I was given this book in the mid-90s, Discovering the Laws of Life by John Marks Templeton. I was on a training session for financial management, and it seemed odd to me that they would give this type of a book. And the reason that I was given it is he said, there are laws in life that you need in order to be successful in anything. And I'd like to read a short story out of this. It's on page 36. It says, a small church in a low-income area of Brooklyn asked a businessman in the neighborhood if the children could play on the vacant lot that he owned until another use was made for the property. The man agreed to allow the space to be used as a playground with two specifications. The church had to pay for insurance and take responsibility for cleaning the lot. So they met on a certain day, and it was not an inviting prospect. You know, the people were certainly willing, but they could not bring themselves to look forward to the task that was ahead. And who could blame them? The litter was terrible. There were bottles, cans, paper, discarded needles, everything you could think of. You know, it was decided that the adults would pick up trash and the children would hold the trash bags open for easy access. With giant sighs and long faces, the group began to do their work. A few of the families arrived late, including a couple with a crippled 10-year-old daughter. Many of the volunteers wondered why they'd even brought the girl. After all, she could hardly walk. The little girl propped herself up on her crutches, leaving her hands free, and with a huge smile and a happy expression, she held the plastic bag open for her father. They laughed and talked about the many sports and the other activities that would take place on the lot, and their enthusiasm was contagious. A little girl had inspired all the others, yet a few found themselves wondering why the girl was so excited. It seemed to them unlikely that she would be able to use the lot herself. How could she? They asked. The crippled girl was again totally enthusiastic. I'll keep score, I'll be a referee, and do other stuff like that, she answered. And then it concludes, the individual who takes up an activity as a positive adventure can inspire the same attitude in others. A smile is contagious, so is a frown. Although no one can be sunny all the time, if we take up our tasks with enthusiasm, it is likely that those around us would catch our spirit. Enthusiasm is contagious. That is the one thing that I can remember being missing from that feast. Enthusiasm. It immediately captures the attention of others. Why? Because it glows. It radiates. You know, have you ever walked down the street and smiled? You see others smiling back. You know, it's said that a smile is something that you can fake until you make it. If you force yourself to smile, others smile back. And enthusiasm is the same. If you are enthusiastic, it will start to radiate back. You know, there is a number of things about enthusiasm that you can study. But I've taken a lot of courses on building enthusiasm and read a lot, and it's funny, they always come back to two things. Number one, and again, some people just are naturally enthusiastic, and others need to work at it. But it can be built. Enthusiasm, number one, requires a deep appreciation for what you have, a love. You know, do you appreciate, do you truly love why you're here? What it pictures? It is something great. Remember, nothing great is ever achieved without enthusiasm. The second thing that is necessary is not only appreciating what you have, but then making a conscious decision, willing within yourself to outwardly express that appreciation. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard, but you can literally force yourself. And it doesn't take long, and the enthusiasm starts to return, and you're no longer forcing yourself. You know, Ecclesiastes 9:10, very familiar scripture. You know, it says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. We are here to rejoice, commanded to rejoice, to celebrate, and have a foretaste of the millennium. You know, what a great experience. You know, and it requires enthusiasm. Webster's Dictionary calls, when you look up enthusiasm, it says to be stirred or thrilled. You know, are you? I can remember that feast. I went out, I had good meals, I listened to the sermons, but there was nothing in me that stirred me to serve, stirred me to participate. You know, the word enthusiasm is derived from two Greek words, en, which means in, and theos, meaning God. It comes from, it literally means in the Greek, God within. You know, we are blessed. Do you truly believe that? I do. We are blessed beyond words. You know, there are no words to describe how much we have been blessed. You know, we are here picturing something, probably the greatest event that will ever happen. You know, after Christ returns, the greatest period of time to fall on man. Remember, enthusiasm captures the attention of others. And it is also very fragile. It can be very easily crushed. Not only do you have to will it in yourself sometimes, but avoid those situations that are downers. You know, if you're in a group and it's negative, just move. You know, you and I have the ability, just like that little girl, to turn this feast, to make this feast the best ever. You know, we have the ability, if there's someone in our group that is feeling a little down, we, you and I, have the ability to make it the best feast ever for that person. Henry Thoreau said once, none are so old as those who have outlived enthusiasm. You know, I've been coming to the feast 43 years. You know, there are times when I've talked to older people that have been coming for even longer, and they start to feel the drag. You know, Norman Vincent Peale, who actually wrote the foreword on this book, said that years wrinkle the skin, but the lack of enthusiasm wrinkles the soul. We need to be involved with each other. We need to stir each other up, to be excited, talk about the sermons, talk about the activities, participate. You know, Romans 12, in verse 11, actually I believe back in verse 9, Paul started talking about love. And then in verse 12, he said, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Never be lacking. You know, we have such a tremendous opportunity here to show what it is that we have got, what we've been given. A comment was made to me late last week. An individual who was planning on attending, they're not part of our organizational structure, but they're planning on spending a little time with us. And he made a comment to me. He said, you. And that was a reference to us sitting here. You are living photographs. Others will form their picture of your church by looking at you. You know, when they look at us, what do they see? Do they see an enthusiastic, happy group that is willing to serve, willing to participate, willing to help their brother who may not be having the greatest feast? You know, what does God see when he looks at us? Does he see us showing and radiating what he has given us? You know, I hadn't planned it, but I have enough time. I'd like to read some words that God wrote, that God inspired about a group of his people. And I'll give you the reference a little bit later, but think about what God looks at, what he sees when he looks at you. You know, some very beautiful words. Ask yourself, how would I feel if God was writing this about me? You know, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have had patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. You know, what beautiful words. God knows each and every one of us. Imagine if he was saying that about you. And that is what he is saying in Revelation 2, verse 2, to the church at Ephesus. Think about yourself and remember that we can lose our enthusiasm. Verse 4, he continues, the same group of people, nevertheless, I have this against you, for you have lost your first love. Do you love what you are here for? What you are partaking of, what you are participating in. You know, remember, nothing great was ever accomplished without enthusiasm. We have to appreciate, we have to build within us a desire to show what we have been given. You know, remember Paul's admonition to never, never be lacking in enthusiasm, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. You know, you have the ability, I have the ability to pick up our brother. If they're feeling down, we have the ability at the dance tonight to make it the greatest dance. You know, the Penny Carnival, all the activities. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. We, you and I, have the ability to set the tone for this feast going forward. You and I are living photographs. What will people see? What will God see?